Welcome back to the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Daniel Wade, joined today by John Kegley, my fellow co-host. And we're here to talk about the Chiefs romping over the Chargers and another very Chargers-esque game. But first, me and John started our own podcast, Chargers Domination Live, on Facebook a couple years ago, which we did once a week live on Facebook, which we still do, but that's what led us to picking up the Locked On Chargers podcast to bring more of a traditional podcast feel and to get shows out to you guys all throughout the week instead of just once a week. But there's some things we have to go over today, John. First, we're going to recap the game, the 38-28 loss. And then we're going to tell you what went wrong specifically, tell you all the things the Chargers need to fix. And then for the final segment, I know you might be wondering what could have gone right when you let up 38 points to the other team and lose the game. But there were some things that went right and some promising signs for the future. But first, how are you doing, John? How are you hanging in there on that long drive home from the game?
Man, I'm exhausted, depressed, you name it, man. It was rough, sunburn. It was really hot. Just a rough way to lose a game.
And, John, I mean, I think actually first we should probably talk about what the crowd was like there at the stadium. I know the Chargers announced recently that they sold out their season tickets for the year, but it didn't look like those season tickets were bought by Charger fans, John, if I could tell from the TV, which isn't always perfect, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, the beginning of the game, for those that saw it, it was pretty empty in the stadium, but about 6 minutes left in the first, it started filling up. The visitor side didn't really fill up, but it was completely Chiefs fans for the most part. The end zones, my section was in the end zone, was a lot of Chiefs fans. The home side was a lot of Charger fans, mostly Charger fans of some empty seats here and there. And the end zone Charger fans were pretty loud, but the sideline ones were kind of those, I'm going to sit in my seat because I paid good money for my seat type of people. So the Chiefs fans really, really rocked the place with their tomahawk chants and everything. It was really, really loud.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, the better story is for there to be more Chiefs fans than Charger fans, especially if you're a TV station showing the game, when that has been a talking point all of last year. But I think no matter what the facts were or how many people showed up, I think it's hard to say they had a home field advantage in this game in any way. So let's get into it, John. It started bad about as quickly as it could. The Chargers go 3-and-out on their first drive, and special teams became an issue again when Tyreek Hill, the guy that you know they were talking about all week, takes a punt back 91 yards for a touchdown, just absolutely smoking everybody on his way there. And that was just the beginning of his huge game, John. The Chargers answered with a field goal, and you felt pretty good. They had a pretty decent opening drive, got some points on the board, and Caleb Sturgis hit a 45-yard field goal, so you're definitely feeling good about the kicking situation at least. And then Chargers give the ball back to the Chiefs, 7-3 is the score, and Patrick Mahomes finds Tyreek Hill on 2nd-and-4 on a short crossing, intermediate crossing route, and Jaleel Adine misses one tackle, and if you miss that one tackle against Tyreek Hill, it's not good because he took it to the house, 58 yards, and Tyreek Hill had touched the ball at this point two times and had two touchdowns, John, for over 140 all-purpose yards, about as badly as you can let somebody get to you, especially a guy we know a lot about and have seen for the last couple years. We know what this guy can do. How did they let him go that crazy, John, on his first two touches in the Chiefs' first two drives?
It's poor tackling, man. It's poor tackling. The punt return, right when he caught that punt, the first guy down there misses the tackle. Tyreek Hill takes off and just literally steps through two tackles. The guys reach for his legs. They touch him a little bit, but he just steps right through it and just keeps on going. And once he got past those two guys, he took off down the sideline and no one could catch up to him. And then on the pass, as you mentioned, it was Dulota missing the tackles, missed tackles. That was kind of the story for some of this first half, is just missed tackles. And if you miss a tackle on Tyreek Hill, good luck, because he's just going to turn on the burners and burn you.
Yeah, John, with a guy like that, you can't miss any tackles, because if you miss him and you have a shot at him like a Jaleel Adai did on that long reception for a touchdown, he's just too fast. The Chargers don't have anybody with that kind of speed on their defense. So, obviously missed tackles are a huge thing, but you can't let it happen, especially against that guy, because no one's catching him if you miss the first one. And the Chargers really pissed me off after that, because Austin Ekeler made one of the best catches we're going to see all year. I know it's the first game and they didn't even get any points out of it, but he caught a ball that him and Keenan Allen were in the exact same area of the field. Keenan Allen tips it. Austin Ekeler brings it in off the deflection, one-handed, backpedaling. I mean, it was just a ridiculous catch, John. I know me and you talked about what a great catch that was. But then Phillip Rivers takes a sack on 3rd and 10. Trying to do a little bit too much, pushes them out of field goal range. You know, even though they faked a field goal, they weren't comfortable putting Caleb Sturgis in for a mid-50s field goal attempt. And so Caleb Sturgis punted the ball 24 yards, which was probably a smart play considering they kept it out of the hands. So after that, the Chiefs went 3 and out. Chargers got the ball back, added on a field goal to make it 14-6, inching a little bit closer. And then on the next Chiefs possession, we actually got to see, John, why Derwin James was picked where he was on back-to-back plays. He made huge plays. He saved a touchdown on a deep ball to DeAnthony Thomas, where he caught up at the last second, diving pass deflection to save a touchdown. And on the play after that, he comes in to get the first sack of his career on Patrick Mahomes and to really swing the momentum back into the Chargers' favor, which helped them on their next drive, where they ended up going in for a touchdown. Austin Ekeler catches a 13-yard pass from Phillip Rivers on a jump ball where he was lined up against a linebacker. Great play by Ekeler, showing even more of his chops in the passing game. And the Chargers kind of chased the point early, John. They went for two and failed it, and it seemed like they were trying to get that back until the very end. And the Chiefs added on a field goal to make the score 17-12 at halftime. What did you think about the Chargers in the first half? Did you feel like they had some momentum and might be able to come back in the second half?
I feel like they had some momentum offensively, but defensively I was never really confident that they were going to find a way to put it together. I mean, they had a good section of stops there for a little while, but there was also some mishaps on the Chiefs side to make those happen, like a pass going straight through a Chiefs wide receiver's hands who was wide open, and it was almost intercepted by the Chargers. But if he completes that pass, the Chiefs go for a first down, and it's going to be even more and more points for the Chiefs. But the Chargers offense was starting to look better, but they were beating themselves. Like the touchdown drive, we could have scored a touchdown earlier and maybe had a chance to do something right before half with another drive. But Tyrell Williams dropped a deep, wide-open ball, and you cannot get any more wide open. The offense looked like it had momentum, started getting more confident, but the defense, I had no confidence in.
Yeah, it didn't seem like they were really stopping him, obviously missing their best player in Joey Bosa. But, yeah, dropping touchdown passes seemed to be a theme in the game. But that Tyrell Williams drop was, about as wide open as you can get. Him and the defender went totally opposite ways, and just a huge drop, and it was one of many drops on the day, John. Then the second half gets started. The Chargers are within 5, and the one thing you don't want to do happens. They let the Chiefs go all the way down to the red zone and score a touchdown to put them up by an extra score just at the beginning of the second half. I mean, you want to get your momentum back on your side. And then before you know it, it's 24-12, and you give up a score right away. It was awful to see. They got the Chargers on a trick play, basically. Like we talked about it in the week leading up to it, that shovel pass got him again, wide open, walks into the end zone, and just like that, You're up 24-12. Then after that, the Chargers piled onto it. You had a good drive heading into the red zone. And right before they get there, Phillip Rivers is intercepted, taking more points off the board, which you just can't happen. And guess what? The Chiefs come back and get another touchdown after that to make it 31-12. So the offense has it once in the second half, and it goes from 17-12 to 31-12. And it was capped off by an Anthony Sherman, the fullback, burning Kyle Emanuel, a guy we've talked about not wanting to see alive the whole preseason, gets burned by a fullback, John, for a 32-yard touchdown to make it 31-12. And I think that was when the game really fell out of reach.
Without a doubt, it fell out of reach. Right when that happened, I was like, well, I get to do a show this week on a loss. And just the fact that fullback burned us, right when I saw who caught it, like at first I thought it was DeAnthony Thomas or Kareem Hunt that caught that ball. And then I hear the announcer say it was Sherman. I was like, are you kidding me? That's who we got burned by? What is with this defense? Even without Boza, we should not let that happen. How does Kyle Emanuel get burned by a fullback? I lost all hope, and I literally just said, okay, we're going to get loud. We're going to try to get this team to at least get close, and maybe a miracle can happen, but I'm not confident. I really was not confident, but I was still loud.
Yeah, I know. I know how you feel. I mean, it was hard to be confident at that point. The Chargers did put together a drive after that and came back and scored a touchdown of their own. Keenan Allen absolutely made his defender look stupid on just a quick inside move on Orlando Scandrick, old Orlando Scandrick, and just was an easy pitch and catch for Phillip Rivers to Keenan Allen for Keenan Allen's first touchdown of the season. And that was great to see from Keenan Allen. He had been kind of quiet through the game, but this was also surrounded by more drops by the Chargers wide receivers. They got lucky and got bailed out on this one. But it was 31-20, Chargers back within striking distance, and they get a 3-and-out on the Chiefs offense. And what happens, John? J.J. Jones, the rookie, who already took an ill-advised kickoff return out of the end zone to end up about at the 10-yard line, fumbles a punt, picks the ball back up after he should have let it go in the end zone before he tried to catch it the first time, gets tackled at the 5-yard line and fumbles it again. And right when you think you're going to have a chance to cut the lead to 3, they end up giving the ball to them on the 1-yard line. And what do? They run the same shovel pass that worked so good for them on 3rd and goal when the Chargers were finally making a stand. And it's as wide open as the first time, which is really unacceptable to get beat on the same play, and it was Tyreek Hill of all people. How do you not have a guy on him at all times and know where that guy is at this point in the game when he has torched you all game? Was just ridiculous to make it 38-20, putting the Chargers even farther out of reach. But don't tell Phillip Rivers that, because he was still slinging away. Ended up coming back on the next drive to score a touchdown to Tyrell Williams. Phillip Rivers made sure to throw it soft for him so he wouldn't drop it this time. And actually gave them a little bit of life at 28-38, got him down 10. They made the 2-point conversion attempt with Melvin Gordon getting a run. And on an earlier 2-point conversion attempt, we got to see Antonio Gates get in the action and catch a 2-point conversion try, which was cool to see. But they were chasing. They had a good shot. It was about 3 minutes left when they were going into Chiefs territory. They end up having to settle for a field goal, and what do you know, a Chargers field goal kicker misses a 48-yard field goal, and that was the game, John. I mean, that's officially over. It would have been tough even if they would have made it. You need an onside kick, but that was the end of it, and it was fitting that it ended on a missed kick. Well, we're going to get into what actually went wrong and the specifics of that, and that's coming up next. You know, ever since I started this podcast, people have been asking me for advice. Usually, it's what team to bet on this week. The truth is, I don't know who's going to win. But if you think you know, you got to check out MyBookie. Remember, who you're betting on is just as important as who you're betting with. That's why I always tell people to bet with MyBookie. Trust me, guys, they're your best bet this season. They've been in business for years, have great reviews online, and their mobile site is easy to use. I would only recommend a service to you if it was good to me, and it has been, because you win and they pay. They have in-game live betting and the most rewarding player perks in the business. And for you fantasy guys out there, you can even bet the over-under on how many fantasy points a player will score in each game. So join now with MyBookie, and they will match your deposit dollar for dollar when you use the promo code LOCKEDON. Visit MyBookie online today. That's MyBookie. And don't forget to use the promo code LOCKEDON when you're creating your account to claim the bonus. You play, you win, you get paid. All right, John. Well, this is a hard part to do for us, especially this close after the game, as we're recording this on the Sunday after that tough loss. It's time to get into what went wrong in this game, which is really tough when, the game just happened a few hours ago. But a lot of things went wrong, and we're just going to keep it to the biggest things that went wrong for the Chargers today. And I think it starts with Tyreek Hill, John. They didn't have an answer for him. Over 250 all-purpose yards, about 169 receiving yards on only 7 catches with the 2 touchdowns, and you include the shovel pass from Patrick Mahomes. And, John, with the punt return, he just really destroyed them in every facet of the game today.
It seemed to me that the Chargers tried to take away the 2 of the weapons and let 1 weapon work. So the weapons for the Chiefs would be Kareem Hunt, Travis Kelce, and Tyreek Hill. And they basically took out Hunt and Kelce, but they left Tyreek Hill, which is probably their best weapon, which, I don't know about you, but I would have rather stopped Hunt and Hill and left Kelce to try to win the game for them. So I think that was a big backfire on their side. And the fact that we don't have anybody as fast as him either. Derwin James kept up with DeAnthony Thomas pretty well, who's almost as fast as Tyreek Hill, but not as fast. But other than that, that's as close as you're going to get. Why would you want someone with that much speed to have any room at all? I would have him double covered with zone around him all the time and make Kelce beat you. And even maybe Hunt beat you, because, unless it's the running game up the middle, I think you could probably contain Kareem Hunt with Kazir White and Owosu and those guys. Would you agree?
Yeah, and I think, John, even if that wasn't the game plan going into it, after you see what he does to you on that first punt return, it's called adjustments. Once you see that it wasn't just those big plays, John. He was making other plays in the receiving game that didn't end up as touchdowns. He had a lot of chunk plays in this game besides just the big ones we mentioned. Every time they needed a big play, they found Tyreek Hill, usually pretty wide open, which is just ridiculous. And there was no in-game adjustments in this game to deal with Tyreek Hill, and that's the part that bothers me the most. And I think, John, the biggest second thing that was a huge problem in this game was drop passes. Phillip Rivers said he probably should have had 600 passing yards in this game, and he wasn't even exaggerating. He easily could have had 600 passing yards in this game. There was at least 4 drop touchdowns, probably 3 dropped actual touchdowns, and a drop by Travis Benjamin that would have taken him inside the 10-yard line and would have ended up in points. And that was just, one of the worst games, Johns, as far as drops that I've ever seen from the Chargers.
Oh, man. You said Rivers wasn't over-exaggerating, and neither are you. That was literally the worst game ever. Tyrell Williams, wide open in the end zone. The safety went the opposite way of him, and he had at least 20 yards of space open in the end zone, 60 yards downfield. Right in the hands, drops it.
Yep, and I think another thing was that they just let Patrick Mahomes get in too much of a rhythm. Besides the drops by the Chargers, which is, there's no excuses for those, a ton of drop touchdowns, a ton of points left on the board. Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin should not be able to call themselves wide receivers after this game, because they looked more like tight ends, because every time the ball came their way, their butthole puckered a little bit. Well, it was crazy, John. Both of those guys aren't known to have the best of hands, but when you just combine it all in that game, And it's not like John Deere drops that, oh, hey, they threw it. He had it for a second. He got hit and the ball was jarred loose. There were wide open drops where the defenders were being beat by multiple steps. I mean, it was just, it was ridiculous. The Chargers knew what the weaknesses of the Chiefs defense was and they exploited them.
Yes.
Only to have, only to be let down by their receivers.
Yeah, you literally put it right on the head. They found the weakness. They even set it up, too. They were calling the plays that you would look and you'd go, okay, that's never the greatest play call. It's never the greatest play call. It's only 5 yards, only 6 yards. We got a 1 yard run. But they were doing that to set up these big plays, and they did it perfectly. And you have guys drop them. Travis Benjamin, wide open, in his hand, drops it. And at the 50-yard line, Travis Benjamin does like this ninja-style kick to try to catch the ball, and it bounces off his stomach. First drive, Tyrell Williams. Wide open, by like maybe 3 footsteps, which is a lot in the NFL, right off his hands. And that could have been the first touchdown of the game. Instead, we go for a field goal. Like, just those things could have made a big difference in this game.
Absolutely. And I think the last big thing that we have to get to, John, was just the terrible special teams. Having J.J. Jones start this game as his first NFL game and having him be the main kickoff return and punt return guy, in hindsight, was a huge mistake, but I think you saw signs from him early when he tried to take a ball 3 yards deep out of the end zone and only ended up making it to the 10-yard line. They should have pulled him right then and there. They left him in for the fumble. They also had a 91-yard punt return for a touchdown. Why can't this team get better at special teams?
Well, they don't have the coach. They don't have the guys. I mean, I don't know about you, but Dan Bailey is on the market, ladies and gentlemen. The former Cowboys kicker, who's supposedly the greatest kicker in Cowboys history, is on the market. Could Caleb Sturgis be possibly losing his job already? I don't know what that contract says, but it could happen. If they don't do it, then you're going to see more bad kicking. And then how do you not set up a good kick coverage team where they basically run down and stay in their lane? How do you not stay in your lane and keep a guy from running that fast, that far? It's unheard of to me. I don't know how you do it. Usually a kickoff return is usually done because the guy picks a lane that he thinks is his best spot, breaks that one tackle, and then just outruns the kicker. With us, it's, oh, we catch it right here, we run all the way to the other sideline and burn him down the end zone. Okay, bye. Like, what the heck?
Yeah, it was just brutal, and it's a story that's gone on for, I mean, the last few years. Just they've had multiple coaches in there that haven't been able to do anything with the Chargers special teams, and that's really unfortunate. And this game overall was very unfortunate, but there's a few bright spots, John, and we'll get into that next. All right, John, now that we went over the bad part of it, let's get into some of the things that we saw that were encouraging for the Chargers, which there wasn't a ton of them, but there was enough for a game you lose by 10 points and give up 38 points. There was definitely some positives. I think Phillip Rivers has no reason to be scared of the Chiefs' defense anymore after this game. I think Phillip Rivers made some major strides against Kansas City in this game, John, not just the 424 yards, and 3 touchdowns. Obviously, a lot of that was in garbage time. But I think just he seemed to be understanding what the Chiefs were trying to do to him and obviously should have thrown for way more yards. I thought he took a step this game, at least as far as going against the Chiefs.
I think he took a step in this as far as managing the game a little bit better, because when we were down 31-12, that's when Rivers is going to try to force it. He's going to try to throw to double coverage. He's going to try to do whatever he can. And he's going to start throwing like 4 interceptions in a game. Despite 3 passes, which I think were bad, which were the interception, a pass that he almost had intercepted, and then when he overthrew Benjamin. Other than that, I feel like he did really well. He placed balls on the spot, and even though they were dropped, like out of those 4 drops, that's probably at least another 80 yards worth of passing if they just catch 2 of them and maybe at least 1 more touchdown. And he was great in the pocket. He was scrambling around. He looked really good running around in that pocket.
Yeah, I agree with that too. And I think he showed much better pocket presence and just the ability to be mobile in the pocket without having to give up on the play and throw the ball away, which he led the league in balls thrown away last year. He was keeping more plays alive, which led to deeper plays down the field being able to develop, and then the receivers dropping the ball, obviously. But I thought he did great there. And the other guy, I think the Chargers' run game as a whole was good. I think the running backs had a very good game between Eckler and Melvin Gordon. It just seems like every time Eckler touches the ball that good things happen. And he's just really explosive. He got the touchdown in the receiving game. He's a nightmare in one-on-one coverage. I want to see more of Austin Eckler going forward. But the guy that we talked about all preseason that finally showed up, but it really wasn't until the fourth quarter, was Mike Williams. It seemed like once they started using him, John, he really started coming through. And he had 5 catches for 81 yards. It wasn't just all jump balls. He ran some pretty precise routes. I was very impressed with his route running and his ability to catch the ball on the sideline and in traffic. I was very encouraged by what I saw from Mike Williams in this game.
He actually didn't catch a jump ball in this game. The one jump ball that was thrown his way was knocked out by a Chiefs safety that came at the last second. And the rest of his receptions were basically a quick slant route, a deep pass over the middle for 25 yards. Mm-hmm. These were all really good routes. They looked beautiful. I would say it was Keenan Allen-like almost with how well he ran these routes and caught the ball. If we have 2 guys that do what Keenan Allen does, which is run a perfect route and catch the ball right away, we've got ourselves a new weapon, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have a guy that you could use as much as we used Antonio Gates today. We have a guy who's going to be your star player and probably be your second receiver the rest of the year.
Well, and I think if he showed anything, guess what? He had 0 drops. He absolutely should be the second receiver on this team. And for them to take so long to kind of figure out, oh, hey, I can throw it to this guy. He catches the ball. I mean, was getting 5 yards pretty much after every catch, even though it wasn't, I mean, crazy nimble, but he got upfield once he had the ball in his hands. He wasn't just trying to juke people out. He was getting positive yardage. And I just think this was obviously his best game as a Charger, John. And I think that it was huge because he made major strides in his route running. And we also saw that the hype isn't too much for him. He excelled, and he could have easily dropped 2 passes and joined the rest of the crew of everyone just having the most slippery hands in the world, and he didn't. He stepped up late in the game and was a catalyst on many of those late scoring drives for the Chargers. He looked big. He had a presence on the field, and that was just really great to see. That's a huge thing going forward for the Chargers to have that weapon and not have to rely on the deep balls of Tyrell Williams and Travis Benjamin and having balls go through their hands. And this is another one we kind of disagree on. I thought the Chargers' run defense had a pretty good game. I definitely think there were certain plays where they absolutely got fooled. Spencer Ware made them look silly. There were some bad missed tackles. But I didn't think they were getting gashed right up the gut as much as they were last year. I think part of that's a product of, hey, they were selling out to stop the run and then let Tyreek Hill run all over them. But I thought that there were some guys in the middle that at least stood their ground in the running game, and they really limited the big plays besides the Spencer Ware 25-yard run. They did a very good job limiting big plays in the running game.
They limited the big plays, yes, but they were missing so many tackles where I saw Kareem Hunt, even though it was only like a 4-yard run, should have been tackled for a 2-yard loss, and they were breaking tackle, break another tackle. Oh, here's a 4-yard run. And then 3 guys have to bring him down for that 4-yard run. That's how you wear down your defense. To me, that's not a good showing of a run defense. Will I say it's improved? Yeah, it's definitely improved. But how many missed tackles there were, and the fact that even though it was a 4-yard gain, a 5-yard gain, it took 3 guys to finally come and tackle the guy because you couldn't wrap up. I don't feel like it was something good, in my opinion. It was improved. Somewhat of an improvement, but it wasn't good.
But that was our extended game recap. We will be back with you tomorrow. to give you just a couple big topic questions. What this team is like without Joey Bosa. What are the biggest questions we have going into week two? And also some sound from the game and some special pro football focused stats for the Chiefs-Chargers game. But that's going to do it for us today for the Locked On Chargers podcast. I'm your host, Danny Wade, joined again by John Kegley. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at LockedOnLAC. Make sure to subscribe to us on iTunes or wherever you get your podcasts from. And make sure to check in with us tomorrow to hear the rest of what we think about this game and what we have to do going forward. But until then, we will talk to you guys later. Go Bolts.